Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cryptic Cocktail Party, a show where we have a few drinks, share a few laughs, take a dive into the unknown. I am your host, Dave, and today I am joined, as always, by Sarge the Destroyer. What is going on, you handsome fuck?
What is up? I cannot get the fucking Temu commercial out of my head.
What's the Temu commercial?
It's on YouTube, and I watch a lot of YouTube videos while I'm working. The commercial comes up a lot, and it's the chorus is "Ooh ooh Temu," okay. And I want to get in a plane and fly to China and burn down the Temu home offices.
I didn't even know because Temu had commercials. I assumed it was such a scam that they were just like.
Well, so that was really interesting to find out as well. I mean, I wasn't going to shop there anyway because I don't trust any Lego set that's $2, but. My daughter apparently is very involved in everything aside from doing her homework and explained to me that, Temu basically like makes poisonous toys. And then I looked it up and like, literally she's not even lying. Like they have all these like different recalls and things that they have been found with like absurd fucking lead paint content.
I mean, that tracks though.
Toxic paints and stuff. And I'm like, how are we even allowing this? Like, but then I wonder, like, what's wrong with us as a species that we're like, oh, it's $2. Let me buy it and just roll the dice and see what happens.
Well, because the only experience I have with Temu is I never ordered anything from it, but you know, like when you first start a TikTok and like your For You page, you have to like kind of curate it to what you want it to be. When I first started mine, it was literally just like, look what I got. It was like Temu haul like videos. Like, look what I got for $17. And they got like 8,000 things. And it's like, I got this Xbox Series One. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you can't. Yeah. And then like a month later, it's like, I bought this dress off Temu and it smells like straight up chemicals. And it's like, well, yeah, dude, like, yes. Come on. Like, no shit. It was.
Well, when you spend 12 cents on a garment, you can't expect it to be fine. A high fashion.
Yeah, it was made. It was stitched by the tiniest of hands, I'm assuming. Just
anytime you order anything from Temu, there's a less than zero chance of. I mean, there's not a zero chance, mm-hmm. but a slight chance you're gonna get some depleted uranium.
Yeah,
you might get like some nuclear waste stitched into your t-shirt. It's glow in the dark, but that's because it's radium.
So I always thought it was kind of like an Alibaba situation, because Alibaba is actually pretty good, but every once in a while you'll get like something sketchy.
So the problem I have with Alibaba is that it's named for a thief. You know, I don't think that's a good idea to buy something.
To be fair,
when your company.
Was Alibaba the thief, or was he just, because he wasn't part of the 40 thieves. He was.
I think it's Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. So yeah. I believe he's part of the team.
Is he like, let me
do some quick Googling and find out who Alibaba was.
All right. While you do that, can you put a blanket over your bird? Because editing that out is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. I try so hard.
Okay. All right. Give me a sec. You're right. I didn't even think about her. Sammy, shut the fuck up. We're trying to record. She's like, oh, it's nighttime now.
It's amazing how quickly that works. It's bonkers.
Yeah. It's immediate.
Yeah.
She still makes some noise, but it's very quiet.
Yeah.
It's like she's whispering. She's like, it's nighttime now. I don't want to wake anyone up.
At least it doesn't. It'd be different if it was a bird that talked and it was just like, fuck you the entire time. I'd be like, I'm leaving that shit
in. Wish. I try desperately to teach her words because she's supposed to be able to say like a couple of words, but she doesn't say shit.
She probably does. She just whispers it at night when no one's around.
Yeah. Well, she's such an ungrateful asshole because like I feed her, I give her water, I give her toys. She won't come near me. She's terrified of me.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm some big monster that comes roaring, like rattling the cage and shaking it up and shit. Like I just like talk to her kindly.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, fuck you.
All right, Sarge. Are you ready to dive into today's episode?
Let's go. All right, let's go.
So today I have three stories for you.
Oh God.
We are going to do, I don't know, how would I word this? Like one-off sighting cryptids, like cryptids that have only been seen once and then never again.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm ready for this.
Does that make sense? Like it was just like a one-time sighting.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter had one of those.
Was it a cryptid
President
or a UFO?
Jimmy Carter. He had both. He spotted a UFO and he, okay, this is going to sound ridiculous. This is going to be another Paul Revere and the rum situation, which no one's going to get that reference because we talked about it before we started recording. But so Jimmy Carter claims that he was chased. Oh, I can't even say it out loud. He claims he was chased by a giant rabbit.
Okay.
He was in a boat. He was in a, like a, either a rowboat or a canoe.
He was on the water in this
chased. Happened? Yeah. He was chased a rabbit, I believe, and maybe I'm messing the story up, but if I understand correctly, he was chased into his boat by a giant rabbit.
Okay. I'm going to have to look into that. And we're going to have to do a whole episode on just to like,
Yeah, we need to because I would be so excited.
The episode will be the rabbit story and the UFO story. All right, so you ready to start this thing? These are
let's go.
All right, so I got three of them, and the first one is kind of like close to home. This is the Slong Lomp Monster. Okay,
it actually, Slong Lomp.
Yeah, you'll understand why it's named that in a little bit. So this actually happened in Berwick, Maine, which is like 2 minutes from where I grew up. Actually, in high school, I lived in Berwick, Maine for like a hot minute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I had never heard of this story before. I had to like dive deep into the annals of the internet to like find, because we've already covered most of like the one-off cryptid things. So a lot of these, I don't know how they're.
I think you meant annals of the internet. Because if you went into the annals of the internet,
did I say annals?
You're going to, yeah, people are going to wonder about your search history.
That was a different website. Well, I do most of these searches in incognito mode anyway, so no one will ever know.
Fair enough.
So, Slong Lomp Monster. On August 23rd, 1972, at around 1:30 a.m., 24-year-old Mary, no last name given, obvious, because of course not, was driving along Pine Hill Road in Berwick, Maine, towards Long Swamp Road on her way home to Lebanon. Now, if you're familiar with the area, Long Swamp Road connects to Route 202. It's like the fastest way to get there if you're coming over the bridge from New Hampshire. Now, as Mary turns off of Pine Hill Road and makes her way up Long Swamp Road, she notices something crouched down on the left side of the road near some brush right around where Johnny Lane and Long Swamp intersect. Now, she doesn't get a good look at it at first, but she described it as big and that its eyes glowed like a bright kind of red when the headlights of her car passed by it. She didn't stop to check it out or really think much of it and chalked it up to being a bear or something like that. Bears aren't like super common around there because it's kind of populated. It's still a wooded area. But
and they also don't have red eyes. So that would have been a clue for me.
Bears actually, when they reflect light back off of them, it is like an orangey red.
Oh, is it?
Kind of color. Yeah. I don't know if it's all that, bears.
I would shit my pants immediately.
Yeah, bears' eyes, like with the cones when they reflect light, it is like an orangey red kind of color. On her part, that was a safe assumption, a conclusion that most would probably come to, I think. I mean, I didn't know that until I looked it up.
I'm the fucking idiot here because I'm like, psh, red eyes, you're crazy.
Yeah, you see any glowing red eyes in the woods, I'm like, that's a demon.
Exactly. That's immediately what I would do.
But also,
I'd be like, oh, it's Satan. I'm fucked.
Yeah, but also, it's also a bear. Like, either way, it's not going to be good for you if it decides to fucking be like, I'm coming at you. Like,
yeah,
it's all bad.
It's a problem.
So she just continues on her way. And after a half mile or so, she notices this thing again. But this time, it's not on the side of the road. It's in her side view mirror. And this thing is fucking chasing down her car. So she described whatever this thing was as being anywhere between 7 to 9 feet tall, covered in a black, almost like feathery kind of like coating, a snouted, snarling face, clawed hands that were almost like in a reaching out like pose, and it was chasing down her car on two legs, and it possibly had a tail.
Are we sure it wasn't just somebody trying to get to the Met Gala? They wear some weird shit.
She's describing, and she didn't actually say this, but she's describing like a velociraptor, like a, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like in Jurassic Park, when they like do that snarling thing and they have their hands like clawed out. It's that, but covered in feathers, which, I mean, technically, I guess, is historically more accurate.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I'm going to anyway, because you know me. But did it ruin dinosaurs for you when you found out a lot of them had feathers? Because it just, to me, it made them less scary. I was like, oh, it's not badass that you just look like Big Bird.
It didn't, because there's two shows that I watch on repeat, usually when I'm falling asleep. And it's there's a on Apple TV, there is a David Attenborough narrated
Dinosaur show. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. Some of those dinosaurs covered with feathers, I would not fuck with. There's one that just fucking books it and it's a nightmare and it's like a fucking thing. The Terror Bird, I'm all set.
Oh yeah. No, so the thing is, I think it's because they don't fly. I just immediately associate them with chickens and turkey.
Yeah, but they're like 8 feet tall and will fucking, it's like an ostrich. Like ostriches are fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, actually, now that you say that, no, you're right.
Like an ostrich or an emu will fucking murder either. We have no chance.
Oh yeah.
It's like you.
There's a guy I watch on YouTube. He has like a wildlife sanctuary in New Jersey. And there's this ostrich that just keeps trying to eat him. Like the ostrich just doesn't like him. And he said like the only way you can get it to behave is if he hits it in the head. So he goes in with like a plastic lid from a bucket to feed the other animals, and he's like feeding the animals, and the ostrich comes over and he's just like thunk.
He's got like a, he uses it as like a shield. That's pretty good.
Yes, they hit it in the side of the head and it runs away. Anyway,
so
okay, so we've got a 7 to 9 foot tall feathery
raptor,
clawed, red-eyed demon raptor.
Yes. Now she said at the time she must have been going at least 50 miles an hour, and this thing was close enough to her bumper, like it was keeping pace. The taillights of her car were illuminating its entire fucking body, which makes this even more terrifying, which means that it's like illuminated in red. And she's like seeing
Jesus.
It like,
right
like yep. in the rearview mirror. Like she's not like turning around to look at it. Like it's fucking terrifying. Now she sped up in hopes of outrunning the creature, or at the very least like tiring it out. But even getting up to speeds of what she said was 70 miles an hour, the creature kept pace, even at one point slamming its body into the side of her car, almost causing Mary to lose control, which I mean, yeah. So Long Swamp Road, if you're not familiar with it, is super windy. There's also like one street light on this entire road. That's fair. It's a nightmare road, but it's also in the woods of Berwick leading up to Lebanon. So and people speed down it all the time. So it's kind of like, it's like super easy to like lose control. Like if you're going down this road during the day, you'll see like just like black skid marks, just like
from... Yep. You see that on every road in New Hampshire or Maine, though.
Yeah, so it's super easy to lose control, even if you don't have a giant bird raptor trying to, like, fuck you up for no reason. Now, this continued for what Mary claimed, or what she said it felt like. It was, like, 10 minutes, but it probably really wasn't. It's not that long of a road. Like, it's a long road, but it's not 10 minutes going 70 miles an hour long. You know what I mean? Like, you would have been in and out if you were doing 70 the entire time. So it was probably only, like, a couple minutes. She didn't manage to outrun it, but luckily another car was coming down Long Swamp Road in the opposite direction, and either the creature got spooked or got bored. Either way, it darted into the woods, never to be seen again. Mary would end up going to the police station that night to report what she had seen. Obviously, she was shaken and terrified, so she had to give her statement orally, like she couldn't write anything down. And in her statement, like she was like obviously in distress, she misspoke and said there was a monster on Slong Lomp Road. And that's how the name came about, and it kind of stuck.
Oh.
But it seems kind of mean, like they were like making fun of her, because the cops obviously like this
fucking idiot.
Yeah, they did the whole like sure, whatever you say, lady. You're obviously hysterical. Like, and they did go to check it out, and they didn't find anything. But there you go. So that's the story of the Slong Lomp monster.
And there was no damage to her car, because you said it hit her car, and she almost.
There was like a dent in it, but I mean. It's the 70s and you live in Maine.
Yeah. That could literally be anything.
Like, it didn't like shatter like a taillight or anything. Like, it was like next to the car and it kind of like hit it, I guess. That's, I'm just going off of like,
gotcha.
I'm going off Jurassic Park rules.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Okay.
All right. So now this next story, we're going international to España. It's the home, home of tapas.
To Barcelona.
Sangria. Home of Diego Luna, I think. I don't know. I don't know if any of these things are actually from Spain. I just know they're Spanish.
Isn't it the home of Pedro Pascal?
Spain? Probably.
That handsome, I think, folk. So. I think it's worse. That beautiful son of a bitch.
So this story is the story of the Octosquatch.
Oh, God. Yes. I have been saying forever that Sasquatch needs more arms.
The story of the Octosquatch goes as such. One night in the summer of 1961 at roughly 11 p.m., a truck driver by the name of Archimedes Sanchez and his anonymous riding partner, which, and this is just speculation, may or may not be code for a lot lizard. they were driving down a road in the Basque Mountains. Now, the Basque people, as we learned in our Mel's Hole series, are famous for their deep holes and fetal seal worm worshipping.
Of course. Yeah.
Now, this road is
as their ancestors have written.
Now, this road is a road that Archimedes, first of all, amazing name, has traveled over many times.
What? Honestly, I am still stuck on how amazing a name he has. Mm-hmm. His name is Archimedes Sanchez.
Yeah.
So it's basically like Archimedes Smith.
Pretty much.
Because it's like a very common last name.
But just after
his parents were like, his parents were like, no one is ever going to forget your name.
So this is a road that he's traveled many times in his time as a truck, as a truck driver. So
he was also a transformer. Yeah. I thought I left that part out. My mistake.
Now, as him and his anonymous partner, quote unquote, were nearing Puerto de Barazar, I think I spelled that right. Their headlights caught a glimpse of something near an embankment on the side of the road. Archimedes slammed on the brakes, and standing there on the side of the road was a 3 to 4 foot tall hairy octopus with a shaggy coat of rust colored hair. Now, the creature, just as stunned as the two men, raised one of its hairy tentacles to shield the light from its eyes. The two men in the truck and the hairy octopus just kind of stayed like that for a few minutes. Like, the Octosquatch, or whatever you want to call it, was stunned like a deer in headlights, and the men stunned because they are in the presence of the Octosquatch. It's a real catch.
I wouldn't know what to do either. Ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, finally, Archimedes Sanchez was like, fuck this, and ordered his fuck friend to go get the jackhammer out of the back of the truck.
Jackhammer?
Now, presumably, he was going to jackhammer this thing to death. Like, what the fuck?
This is a typical human reaction. I don't know what it is. Let's kill it.
Yeah, pretty much. but his companion was like, no, dude, I'm not doing that. So Sanchez threw the truck in reverse and then drove at the creature as fast as he could, only stopping mere feet from it. But the creature didn't flinch, which is like, all right, cool. Now, he did this a few times, like over and over again with the same result. And after a while, the men decided, meh, whatever, and then just drove around it and left and just continued their ride home, like, to the destination. And that's the whole story.
when was this?
This was in the 70s.
Okay.
Hold on, let me scroll up. 1961. That can't be right. I think I wrote that wrong. It could be right. I don't know.
He wanted to jackhammer the octopus to death. He had to have been like drunk or high.
I have no idea.
I'm not saying he didn't see it, but I'm saying if your first reaction when you see an anomaly in the road is let's get the jackhammer.
So I guess
that's some big like cocaine energy.
But also, like, is a jackhammer gas powered? Usually you need a compressor or you need something to like,
yeah.
What was he going to do? Was he just going to fucking like just throw it at it?
Yeah. Jackhammers are heavy.
Yeah. It's not something you can just like pick up. Like go. You never say go get the jackhammer. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a casual thing you can just say in passing. Like, hey, just, Jeff, go get the jackhammer. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a
I've used a jackhammer. That's yeah, a lot too. Of that. And I've used a modern one. I can only imagine how heavy that shit is back in the 1960s or 70s.
Yeah, it's fucking steam powered. You got to fucking heat up coal and shit. Like, it's not ideal. So I guess when so they were doing this back and forth fucking thing, like reversing and stopping. And then another truck drove by and just blew past him. Like, didn't even didn't notice what was going on. And so they were just
this is why this even further, this further pushes my theory that he was high as fuck.
Well, they're truckers. It's him and his, what I assume is a paid lover.
Yeah. They're
clearly doing, I'm not going to say
he was
meth,
getting some roadhead,
but at least trucker speed. They're doing some sort of diet pill, maybe a bunch of red lines. You know what I mean? Like, they're,
of course
it's the middle of the night.
And the person in the passenger seat probably just wasn't wearing pants, and that's why they didn't want to get the jackhammer.
Right? I wouldn't jack it. I wouldn't jackhammer pantless, but
yeah. That's a true sign of masculinity right there. Wear goggles, but I'm not wearing pants.
So dangerous. Too many loose bits down there that could get caught up.
No way. Yeah, there's so many things that could get caught in stuff.
All right, so where are we so far? So we got one more story left, but so far we've covered the Slonglomp Monster. We've got the Octosquatch. We've got one more story. Where are you at right now? How are you feeling about these stories so far?
I want an Octosquatch to just live in my house.
Right, or even just a plushie. Like, I'll take a stuffed
It doesn't animal. Sound like it's a very violent creature.
No, it sounds adorable.
It's just kind of like, turn off the headlights, man.
Yeah, it was just trying to live its best life. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so you ready for this last story?
Let's go.
So this is the story of the Shadow Veil Prowler. Okay?
Ooh.
This is more of a modern one. It's not.
This has got a good serial killer name.
The Shadow Veil Prowler is a good serial killer name.
Right?
Everyone listening.
It sounds like a made-up town, like a fictional serial killer from a novel. Like the town of Shadow Veil.
It kind of does. Or like a serialized podcast thing where like a dramatically read something or other. If anyone listening, don't steal this name, because if I ever become a serial killer,
I want to be the Shadow Veil.
Yeah, please. Yeah. So in October of 1998, at around 10 p.m., a hunter by the name of Greg Thompson was out spotting deer near the edge of Blackwood Forest, located in Blackwood Falls, Washington. Super imaginative naming here.
Yeah.
Now, Greg, who's an experienced hunter and also a tracker. God damn, what is going on with me today? People are trucks, tractors.
Are you okay?
I'm having a mild stroke. He is an experienced hunter and tracker and has been in these parts of the woods before. He claimed that on this night, something just felt kind of off. He says that as he was making his way through the tree line, all the wildlife just stopped making noises and the woods fell into like an eerie silence. Now, it was a pretty foggy night, as most nights I feel like in the Pacific Northwest are like,
yeah,
the Pacific Northwest to me just has like a consistent Silent Hill 2 vibe to it where,
yeah,
it's just,
as
far as the eye can see, it's just going to be fog.
I was basically just thinking the same thing. Like, every night in the Pacific Northwest is like a scene from Clue.
Yeah, it's just impenetrable fog. Now,
yeah, and even thunderstorms constantly.
Yeah, and even though it was foggy, the moon was full, but the woods just felt darker than normal, and he couldn't shake the feeling that something in the woods was watching him. As I was researching this story, and as I was writing this, the entire time, researching it and writing the story is like, I was like watching a horror movie and me on my couch being like, you stupid fuck. There's so many red flags happening right now. Like, just get out of there. Like,
as a hiker, I can tell you, when you hear no noises in the woods, you're in the wrong woods.
Yeah. Also, it's nighttime. It's foggy. It seems darker than it should be. Like, just leave. What are you doing? Like I said, he felt like something in the woods was watching him. So just as that feeling of being watched crept over him, out of the corner of his eye, he saw something large and black move. Thinking it was just a trick of the moonlight through the trees in the fog, he turned to check it out, expecting pretty much to find nothing, but
yeah,
no. He saw what he claimed was a large feline creature with black fur so black it seemed to absorb any light that hit it, making it appear like darker than the shadows. He said that its eyes glowed in what he described as a faint, otherworldly glow. Now, Greg, now frozen in place, pretty much I see it as like he's just urine drenched, like the front of his pants, I assume.
I would be.
Yeah, he could only stand there as the massive feline prowler just circled around him slowly. And then after what felt like forever, the prowler suddenly stopped and locked eyes with Greg, as if it was deciding his fate. Like, will I murder you here and now, or will I let you live and like tell a story that no one will ever believe and people will think you're crazy? Both of those don't seem like a good outcome, but at least one of them you're
That's like the cruelest thing that any cryptid could do.
Right?
Just it's like show up, wave at you, and then be like, no one's going to believe this, and then walk away.
Yeah. And then just as suddenly as it appeared, like the prowler made his decision and vanished into the woods, leaving Greg shaken and now just alone, like in the fog, like the dark, foggy woods. So Greg decided, and this is probably the best decision he's made so far, that this was as good a time as any to just get the fuck out of there and made his way back to town.
Okay.
Now, when he got back to town, he immediately told everyone what had happened. Now, it's like 11 p.m. by this time, so I bet he just like went to like the local bar, which is the only thing that I assume would be open, and told everyone what happened. Now, luckily for Greg, he did have a good reputation in town for having like a solid head on his shoulders. So while there were some skeptics, people kind of took him at his word. Now, obviously, there was no evidence of a giant cat monster in the woods, and also big black panther monsters are not native to the Pacific
Northwest. Not a common thing.
Yeah. Right. But this story has kind of become like folklore in the region. People claiming that it was like a guardian of the forest. Others, as usual, say it was a harbinger of doom, even though I couldn't find anything bad happening.
Guardian of the forest.
I don't know, man. Either way, no one's ever seen it again. And there it is, Sarge. That is the story of the Shadow Vale Prowler and the last story for today. Where are we? How are we feeling?
I'm still, I think Archimedes and the Octosquatch should be a children's book.
I mean, we could write.
Cut out the lot lizard. Yeah. Cut out the lot lizard.
That's fair. We can turn it into like a dog. Like his writing partner was like his dog companion.
Right.
Now,
he would make it weird when he's like, go get the jackhammer. And the dog's like, I don't have thumbs.
Well, you would leave that out of the kid's story, I would assume. I feel like blatantly murdering just like an innocent, because there's no lesson there to be learned. I guess
that's true.
Maybe.
Well, there's not many lessons to learn from cryptids. They sort of just show up. They wreak havoc on your life and then they run away into the woods.
True. Now, Sarge, there is a twist to this episode, and I kind of took this out of your book.
Uh-oh.
Two of these stories are not real. I made them up whole cloth. Only one of them is real.
Oh.
And now I need you to circle through your mind, think back to these stories, and I want you to tell me which one you think is the real story.
I think my bias is going to have to stick with Octosquatch.
Is the real one?
Yeah.
Yes! Octosquatch is the
real. Yes. I'm so happy. That was really good though, because I was tied with Slong Lump.
Slong Lump?
Yeah, I was very tied with that one because I'm like, that's a really good detail. Like the minute you said that the two of them were made up, I was like, well, Slong Lump, that's a good detail to add. Like, because if you were just trying to convince me that it was a true story, you would have just been like, oh, the long swamp monster, whatever. Wow. Good work. You almost had me. I was very torn.
I honestly didn't think you would chose Octosquatch. Octosquatch, come on, the name Archimedes.
It's like, the most absurd thing.
If anything, out of all of these, that sounds the most fake.
You know what, though? I think because the name Archimedes Sanchez is just so absurd, I was like, there's no way he's going to make that name up because it's so crazy.
It is such a bonkers name.
Right? I do like the Shadow Vale Prowler, but the reason I thought that one was fake is because at no point was anything named Shadow Vale. I'm like, why would they call it that?
So, all right. So, all right. So the Song Lot Monster, the backstory behind that is that, so my mother-in-law actually lives off of Long Swamp Road in Berwick. And me and my wife, whenever we have to drive from Philly back to Maine to like stay with her when we're visiting friends in New Hampshire or something like that, we came up with the Song Lot Monster. We never came up with like the, what it looks like. Like I wrote that out whole cloth like an hour ago. Like I made up that whole story. But we came up with Song Lot Monster. So that's where that one came from. The Shadowvale Prowler, I asked ChatGPT with a story about like a one-off cryptid sighting and then all this stuff. So the town is fake, the name is fake, but now that you said the name, I should have fucking because I did I did ask ChatGPT why is it called Shadowvale Prowler, how did it get its name, and I should have included it so that to kind of throw you off, but it did say that the Shadowvale Prowler got its name from the few tantalizing descriptions provided by witnesses and local folklore. The term Shadowvale comes from the creature's extraordinary ability to blend seamlessly into the darkness as if it wears a veil of shadows.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're talking about rural folk.
I don't know how rural it is.
I mean, the guy's hunting in the woods in the Northwest, so he's not in, you know, Olympia. Yeah, Portland, Seattle. So I just don't see like a bunch of people being that poetic while also living as lumberjacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, folklore is, people get poetic with it.
They would have called it like the Hellcat.
That's fair.
Hellcat of Seattle.
I'm honestly surprised that you chose Octosquatch. That is the most unbelievable shit that I've ever heard in my entire life. But it is.
I think that's why I chose it, because it was so unbelievable. I was like, no one in the world is gonna make up Archimedes sketches.
I think the jackhammer. I thought the jackhammer would throw you off too. Like who's gonna?
Like, I think it was because it was all so absurd, but also I wanted it to be real so bad.
Yeah, how could you not want the Octosquatch to be like the legit
it has
one?
To be real. I want an Octosquatch for my house, and I want to teach it how to play drums.
Oh shit. Sort of like an underwater
band.
Think
how good he'd be. Yeah.
I love it. But so that's the episode. I tried to have fun with it. I think that was fun.
That was awesome.
Trying something new, a little different.
That was so much fun.
But I wanted to take a page out of your book, like you did with the torture devices.
Oh, okay.
See if I could trip you up a bit.
See what you were very close. A slong lump had me. I was like, I'm probably wrong, but I just don't think anyone would make up that name. All right, yeah, I'm gonna stick with Octosquatch. Oh, thank God I did it.
I know.
You're gonna have to wake up earlier in the morning to fool this guy. You're gonna have to come up with names like Socrates Wellington.
I should have just been like, his name was Jeff Bob. Jeff Roberts.
The most Fred Taters.
Yeah. Like just the most un-Spanish name you could think of. He was an expat who moved to Spain to become a truck driver. But I also thought that maybe the Basque thing would throw you off, because how often does Basque show up in like random shit that we've covered? Like,
oh, right. Well, the only two times I've heard it this year are on this podcast. So.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I thought maybe you'd be like, oh, well, he's just taking that from the other things and melding into a story. No. All right. Well, I thought I could trick you. Fuck, you're too smart. Sorry.
There's more time. You have more time. You'll have the chance.
We'll have to do this again, because this was fun. I enjoyed coming up with the Slong Lump.
Yeah, this was like, fun.
It was good.
Slong Lump is great.
Yeah. I thought that detail I thought would get you and think so you'd think it was real.
Well, in my head, I was like, I want to go up there and check this out. I want to go see this road. It's not that far.
It's not that great. It's a road in Berwick. It's like,
well, now it's not. Now that there's not a giant terror raptor.
I should have just not said that any of these were fake or real and just seen how many people listen to this episode and then like try and write like a crypto
backstory
cryptopedia entry on it. But here's the thing. Most people don't listen to like the last 5 minutes of this episode, so
they never would have figured it out.
They might still not. You never know. They'll hear like,
put it in the description. Stay to the end for the big reveal.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, Sarge, that's the end of the episode. It was a good Amazing. Time. That was fun.
That was really good.
Do you got anything you want to plug before we
start? Yeah. So New Citizens Guide episode is coming out. Sorry we missed a couple of weeks, but life got in the way, as it usually does. But this one's going to be a good one. You're going to want to tune in for it. We're covering the Great Molasses Flood of 1919 in Boston. It's not really a supernatural story, but it definitely follows our theme of covering things that are sticky, stupid, and uncomfortable.
Definitely lately, so, you've been covering things that are just murder people.
Yeah, things that are just weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be a fun episode, and there's a lot of like crazy history and actual political intrigue that's involved. So really interesting story. Some corporate malfeasance, which we all know and love in America. And I got a coloring book that's going to be coming out hopefully in July.
Hell yeah.
It's a grown-up coloring book. There's going to be like word searches and mazes.
Dicks and pussies and tits. Is that an adult coloring book? No.
I mean, it could be. It's not going to be my coloring book.
Well,
but I did tell the publisher my goal was for it to be banned in libraries across the South. And I think we achieved that goal.
Bunch of gay shit, then. Happy Pride Month, everyone.
There is some gay stuff in there, yeah. That's the whole reason I was like, I want there to be two teddy bears holding hands underneath a rainbow. And they made it for me. So you could color in the two teddy bears.
Oh, bud. Project 2025 is not going to enjoy that.
Well, they're going to have to suck it up and deal. Because I have no problem with gay people, and therefore they shouldn't either. Because I command it.
Well,
it's an order.
You are the sergeant, so
that's
what
right.
What you say is law, technically, I guess.
Yeah, so check out sometime this week. It'll be around the same time that this episode drops. Ours will probably drop a day or two after. So Tuesday or Wednesday, the Great Molasses Flood. It is. I've done the most research, probably some of the most research I've ever done for a podcast episode on this. And it's crazy.
I got lazy today and did no research whatsoever for this episode. And it was,
you didn't have to.
I know, it was a blast. I loved it.
It was just amazing. It was so much fun.
All right. So, yeah, Citizens Guide, definitely make sure you check out the new episode when it comes out. Follow Sarge.
And I'll tell you guys about the coloring book when it comes out. It's going to be called Sarge's Super Normal Coloring Book.
So it's going to be anything but.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's not going to be anything normal in that coloring book. There's a lot of weird shit. We've got Maynard in there. This has been in the works for months. I didn't want to talk about it until it was almost done.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's me and Maynard on adventures in there. So you get to color in an adventure with the both of us. And we've got some cryptids in there. So there'll be references to this podcast and Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal in there.
We didn't get you in there
because all the artwork was done before we started recording together. But
I just want one. I just want a color.
You got a couple of pages, so okay. Yeah, you'll be able to buy it on Amazon. It's going to be published. All the work was done by a legit publishing company, but we're going to publish it through Amazon because it'll be a lot less expensive to purchase.
Do they do that? I didn't know they do that.
Yeah,
keep an eye out for the new episode, Citizen's Guide. Keep an eye out for the coloring book. I'm sure he'll promote it several times.
We'll be talking about it.
Yeah,
I'll be annoying about it. I'll be supporting it.
Follow Sarge on all of his socials. You can find them in the link on our Instagram. You can follow our Instagram at Cryptic Cocktail. Follow us on TikTok, Cryptic Cocktail Party, Patreon, $5 a month. You get unedited video of the show. And I think that's it. Also, yeah. It's Pride Month. So support the Trevor Project. It's this thing that I've always had a kind of a passionate thing about, suicide prevention for young trans people, gay people, stuff like that. So it's a good charity to donate to. I have a link to it in our TikTok. You can support that. And then I think that's it, Sarge. You want to say goodbye to everyone?
Yeah, I mean, please donate to the Trevor Project. The LGBTQ community holds a special place in my heart. My daughter and I are actually going to go down to Pride in Providence, Rhode Island next weekend. I got a free Dad Hugs t-shirt that I always wear.
That's good.
And it's always, you know, it's always good to give some encouragement to folks whose families have completely abandoned them because of something that was beyond their control. So, it's something that I firmly believe in. Obviously you do too. So please, make sure that you, punch a bigot in the face, in celebration of Pride. I'm just kidding. Don't do any violence.
What? Sarge doesn't have that. I told you violence, to do, but punch a bigot in the face.
Yeah. Punch one in the face. Not like a whole bunch.
I mean, if you're surrounded,
you know, yeah.
Punch do what you ball. Gotta do. Do some damage.
Bring a chain with you. Put a billiard ball in a bandana, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you gotta do.
Padlock on a bandana.
Padlock.
Cue ball in a sock. Whatever you got.
Keep a roll of quarters in your pocket, and you can just wrap your fist around them.
Yeah. Maybe I'll make some.
Whatever you gotta do.
Maybe I'll make some Cryptic Cocktail branded brass knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
And then you can
and make them rainbow colored.
Now I'm gonna look into that. our Pride brass knuckle line. That's actually a really good idea.
You know, you can't buy brass knuckles in Massachusetts, but you can buy
paperweights.
One brass knuckle.
You can buy paperweights. If there's
no, I have.
If they're sold,
oh, they sell them as paperweights.
If they're sold as decorative paperweights, quote unquote, you can buy brass knuckles if they're labeled as paperweights. I found that out because in New Hampshire, they were illegal. I don't know if they are now, but they were. And you could buy them, but only if they were labeled as
a decorative paperweight.
A decorative paperweight. So if anyone.
Because I have a brass knuckle. I have one knuckle, and it's a bottle opener.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to buy if anyone wants to buy some Cryptic Cocktail Pride themed decorative paperweights.
We need this. Yeah. We are gonna make these. We have to make these.
Maybe I'll look into it today. Maybe we'll put them up for pre-order tomorrow. So
I'm all about it. I'll pre-order for sure.
All right. With that, we love you. We love everyone.
I love you, everyone.
Don't be a fucking bigot asshole.
Don't be a bigot.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to end the show, right?
Yeah, that's fair.